Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Third hour, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, old school, the new school way. Right before, we got an hour before live on the ticket. You know who's playing? My Texans against my man Baker Mayfield.
Does he still love you?
He does, man. He got paid twice ever since we met him. Yeah. He might be up for a re-up, so I got to holler at him. His wife is from like Waverly or something.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. We were brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Ingredients and Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andromat / Old Cheney, 168th and Maple up there in the O. Another beautiful day, beautiful week as we got Michigan on the radar. A lot to look forward to. Obviously, a great weekend that could be the precursor to an even better weekend when Nebraska beats Michigan. I mean, So how many years ago was it that we were in Ireland? Is that four?
2021.
It was 4 years ago. So 4 years ago, you got to think we...
Or 22. Know, it was 22.
22.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, 4 seasons ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 4 seasons ago, we were just slithered past... No, we just got the brakes beat off by Georgia Southern, right?
Yeah, so it was the loss to Northwestern, tight one against North Dakota.
Yeah.
And then Georgia Southern.
Yeah, so, mm-hmm. And then Big Ten play.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you got to think, you know, 4 years ago, we were in a different place. All problems aren't solved, and obviously there's a lot of work to do, but it's a good position to be in. And, you got a game opponent that, you know, technically ranked, and like I said, I don't think there's a big difference from number 21 in the nation to, let's just say, 44 or wherever Nebraska's at, or even, mm-hmm. you know, farther than that. Now, granted, there is a little bit of separation, but I think, you know, as much as there's an unranked team, Nebraska facing, you know, was it 23 Michigan or, mm-hmm. you know, 23 Michigan is no different than, you know, an unranked South Florida against a Boise or Florida, or, you know what I'm saying? And so you can, you know, anybody can beat anybody any day and time or any game, anywhere, any place. And I don't think it's a far stretch off that Nebraska, you know, could beat Michigan.
It's just so funny figuring out how to discuss this game in the right terms, because you can't make it bigger than it is, but you can't make it smaller than it is either, because it's incredibly correct to say that this is not the same Michigan team in terms of pedigree, in terms of talent across the board that Nebraska faced in 2023. Team that put like a dozen dudes in the NFL draft, right? That's not who Nebraska's facing. But Michigan's also not some pushovers. You know, no, they didn't live up to, you know, their championship pedigree last year necessarily. You can't base everything you think about them off of their win over Ohio State and Alabama. You got to treat them like who they are. You can't build them up to be, oh, Michigan comes to town, they're so good, they're just going to run at Nebraska. Nebraska has so little chance of stopping them. It's going to take a miracle. It's not going to take a miracle. It's going to take good football.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of it, I think fans have done a better job of going this way, not getting carried away by 68-0 and 59-7. Oh, Nebraska's fixed. Nebraska's back. Watch out, Michigan. You know, Nebraska's here and they're here to stay. You know, Bo Pelini quote sort of deal. one of my buddies just texted me and said, this feels a lot like Colorado last year. In some ways. But I'll say this. In terms of the vibe, it needs to be. In terms of, if you have a national championship team back, you want to put on a good show, a good football to make, you know, your fellows proud when you walk out there, whatever. Absolutely. The vibe has to be off the charts like it was for Colorado last year. Problem is, I don't think that reflects in the style of play. Who's Colorado's best players last year? It was Travis Hunter. It was Shadur. They were always going to come out and throw the ball around. Nebraska is going to have a much harder time playing from in front like it did against Colorado last year. It's a different beast.
It's different, but it's the same. Because
can you make it look the same? That's the challenge.
Yeah, but I don't think it has to, as long as you win. And that's the only thing that we need to look the same.
Is win. Yes.
It's the same in this sense. I think we played Colorado at the best time to play Colorado last year. I think they were playing really good after that and late in the season.
Still won, what, 9 games by the end of the year?
Obviously. Then I think with Michigan, we're playing them at the right time. Number one, we're playing them at home, right? Mm-hmm. Number two, they have a freshman quarterback. He's going to be good, and he's talented, but he's still a freshman. It's no different than if Dylan, I guess if, let me see who would be the equivalent of us, and we weren't ever in that position. But to say we go to, say last year, team that was on Indiana. Okay, they got Dylan's a freshman quarterback.
I think Ohio State.
Well, no, but Ohio State's established. Indiana was on the come up, right?
Sure.
Right. They played us at the perfect time, right? Mm-hmm. Nebraska probably would like to have that game back. The timing of the game is good. Michigan's kind of choice of when Sharon Moore, Coach Moore, decided to sit out is their choice, but it works out well for Nebraska. So I think it worked. And then I think it's Michigan that's not the same offense, so which is, you know, bodes well for Nebraska, whereas the way that they run their offense, personnel-wise, defensively, Nebraska matches up well. The way Nebraska's offense is like built or whatever, or kind of like what they've done or what they could do, works out good against Michigan's defense. Dylan's a year older. I think you have I think Dane Key is an upgrade from Jamal Banks. I think Hunter is an upgrade from Nayer. I think Barney year number two is an upgrade from Barney year number one. And I think, you know, you have Emmett that's a perfect fit for this offense for what, you know, they need him to do, right? All three things. You got to run it, block it, catch it. You know, in the offensive line, I think, you know, they're probably as good or better. And so you got, this is a game you got to go out there and win. I think it's two teams when you just look at it eye to eye, 21 ranked Michigan, Nebraska's not ranked. There's no difference. You're going to roll the ball out there and you got to go get it.
How much more confidence do you have in Nebraska finding a way to pull out a win if this is a one score game headed into the fourth quarter after what you've seen, you know, to end last year and to start this year for Nebraska? Because I think 2 years ago, if you would have told folks that Nebraska's in a one score game against Michigan late, great. How does it end? Now we think Husker fans would take their chances with a one score game against Michigan. I still trust Michigan a little bit more in that standpoint, but Nebraska's won a couple straight, you know, one possession games just because, Jay, we haven't seen Nebraska's offense deliver at a level against a defense like Michigan's. Maybe the defense holds up. I'm willing to believe that. I've been impressed with the defense as a whole so far this year.
Yeah.
To me, this is a game that, not saying it's the only way Nebraska can win it, but the best way from my vantage point that seemed like it would give Nebraska the best chance to win is the offense comes out clicking early. Is that the offense puts up 14 points in the first quarter, tack another 7 or 10 on, which is going to be difficult to do, right? Michigan still has athletes all over the place on defense. But, you know, Nebraska's defense has helped it hang in there against Iowa. You know, whose offense is probably worse than this Michigan team's? You know, certainly not as dynamic and certainly more predictable, I would guess. But I think it's about time for Nebraska's offense to do what it did against Colorado last year against a team like Michigan. I'm not banking on that happening. And then when it gets down to, you know, late game situations, Do you trust Nebraska's defense to get a stop in the 4 minute drill when all Michigan needs is a field goal? Do you trust Nebraska to drive down, say that they're down by three, you know, in 4 minute drill against a team like Michigan? I'm not saying Nebraska can't do it. I'm saying this would be a great time for Nebraska to prove it can do it.
Yeah, I mean, if it comes down, I mean, I think the circumstances for me on paper, when I'm looking at it right now, the circumstances for me, everything is in Nebraska's favor. The reason why I think they can win the game in the 2 minute drill, they got a freshman quarterback. Our quarterback's in their second year. Mm-hmm. You know, Biff, their head coach, Biff Podgy, is it Podgy or Pogi? A really good coach, but he's just essentially, you know, jettisoned into head coach. Now, he's been there before. Mm-hmm. Now,
he was an assistant under Harbaugh, right, went to Charlotte, didn't go quite his way, and then came back as well.
And I watched, I mean, obviously, you know, had, you know, a child that goes there, is that the, you know, I went and watched. I mean, it wasn't by for a lack of effort, it was a lack of support at Charlotte and what he wanted to do in college landscape change, right? And it wasn't, and they're reeling in all their sports programs there. So it wasn't just.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10/1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Him, so he's a capable coach, but I'd probably say I'd lean, give Nebraska on paper, you give Nebraska the edge coaching, right? He's just getting there, right? I mean, you gotta think, it's not like he's like, all right, we know he's gonna be gone and you're gonna go four games and then, you know, he'll be back, you know, Sharon Moore will be back. You know, Sharon Moore coached two games, now Biff's coaching two games, so that gives Nebraska more. An advantage. I think Nebraska can throw the ball on paper more consistently than Michigan based on, I'm going personnel to personnel. So that's where now I think Michigan's defense is obviously way step up from Colorado. So I think it's as much as it's advantage Nebraska, there's ways that Michigan can win. I don't think Nebraska has to go out there and play anybody by means of a perfect game. It's going to come down to who plays football the best.
And as
who,
it always
it's going to go really good to see who's more invested in this game. Michigan is here's also a secret, not a secret, but like a little caveat. I would have rather Michigan beat Oklahoma and come in here versus lost to Oklahoma and come in here.
You even said that day.
Yeah, the psychology behind it is I want them to come in here fat and happy and lazy. Oh, we can get that game up. We'll get our coach back.
We're good. We got this. Yeah, we don't need
coach. They're desperate now. Right? You're going to get their best. In the way that Oklahoma game was called versus that Central Michigan game was called are two different things.
Yeah.
So what do you prepare for? So – it'll be interesting to see. It's going to be a chess match, but really all the funny stuff is great, right? You'll get in, you know, you'll get a, you know, Michigan will come out with a set or two or something specifically for Nebraska. You just got to assume Nebraska is going to do the same. But when all that's done, we got knuckle up.
It's that knuckling up that also gives me a little bit of pause. You think Nebraska is going to hit explosives against Michigan? Maybe. I wouldn't count on it.
I think your idea of explosive has to change, though.
I'm not saying Nebraska has to score from 60, right. But I'm saying that might be Nebraska's best chance in the red zone, unless they really clean it up and really work on stuff. maybe Nebraska can move the ball against Michigan. I'm willing to believe
that. Oh, you're talking about they need a house call. You don't think they'll score in the red zone?
I'm saying I don't know if I trust this defense enough, given what I think Michigan's going to do, to think that field goals will win the game. I think Nebraska needs to be better in the red zone, and if it's not going to be better in the red zone, you got to score from 25 or 30 yards out. That to me, I don't love Nebraska's chances in the red zone against Michigan. I don't, plain and simple. And if it comes down to a 23-20, 24-21 game, I tend to like Michigan's chances a little bit more. If it's 31-27, if it's 34-31, I like Nebraska's chances. Yeah. And again, I'm not saying Nebraska can't do it.
Yeah.
I'm saying given what we've seen from Nebraska so far, where they've struggled in the red zone, maybe they can move it between the 20s. That'd be great.
Yeah.
But settling for field goals against Michigan, I'm not sure that's necessarily going to turn out the way Nebraska wants it to, unless the defense has taken another step forward, takes the week personally, and plays really well.
Yeah, I don't think I think Nebraska is built to win, score over 30. I don't think Michigan is built to score over 30.
I agree.
So really what you're saying is if Michigan gets to play the way they want, of course the advantage goes to them, so forth and so on. Now I'll go to like boxing terms. Whoever can fight better at the other person's style will win the game.
Yes.
You get what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know what the coaching staff deems as an explosive run. I just know when I
played, generally it's 10 plus.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So when I played, I had the same thing. 10 plus. It was like 10 and a half. Mm-hmm. Vic Fangio was always, he had to do the half.
You know, Vic.
You know, or 11 and a half or 12.
That's so subjective, right, man. So, based on spot.
So 10 plus is explosive run. 20 plus is an explosive pass. I think if you can have a high number of 6.5 to 8, or not a high number, but a good number of 6.5, 8 runs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. We're running the ball. I think that's what you need, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you get those 6.5 to 8 yard runs against this Michigan team, then you put them in instant zone defense, or you can predict them against man. So mm-hmm. then that's where you think that you like your matchup with Emmett, you like your matchup with Barney and all that. So then you can dictate that zone. Then you're thinking the outside guys, right?
Key, you're thinking Hunter.
Right. So you get to be able to predict and dictate what's going to be down the pipe. So I think that and the explosive plays, I think you'll get some explosive passes against their zone. They don't really run a lot of zone. And when they do run zone, they don't do it. I wouldn't say not very good. I don't think they're executing the zone very, very good.
It's not
good.
Their strength right now.
But I think the reason why they didn't execute the zone very well, if you go back to the Michigan game, can't learn much off of Central Michigan, but Michigan game.
Oklahoma game.
Is that Mateer was able, the called quarterback run game and the success of the quarterback run game off of the pass game really had them on the heels. We don't really major in that. So what we have to do is major in execution and then obviously timely playing.
Can I jump off on that real quick? That's where Nebraska has struggled against teams like this before. Really, the exception to that is Casey Thompson to Trey Palmer against Iowa.
Yeah.
Hit the big one early on, get the 30 or 40 yarder, I think, later on for Nebraska's couple touchdowns of the day. And Nebraska shouldn't need Adrian Martinez to go Superman against Michigan to stay in it. It's been a long time since Nebraska has had that surgeon from the pocket that's just been able to dice up a top defense. Yeah, this isn't a top 5 before. Michigan defense. So probably top 25.
Yeah,
they're good enough to give Nebraska problems. Is the point? But Nebraska has talent to give Michigan's defense problems as well. I want to see Nebraska be able to, you know, simple word. Matt Rhule said that he hates when coaches use it. Just execute. Just do what you do well against a top defense to where you're not relying on. You shouldn't need quarterback run to beat Michigan. If you're good enough at what you want to be good at, it shouldn't take Adrian Martinez Superman scrambles. It shouldn't take design quarterback runs like Oklahoma did. You can be Nebraska and have success against Michigan if you've taken that step forward, right? I don't want Nebraska to rely on Superman plays against a team like this.
Well, I mean, Adrian was one against whatever. And that was against a pretty good, dang good Michigan defense. Mm-hmm. So it was a Herculean effort on his part. But I think you know, whether you want to call it execution or just stay on rhythm. I like it. I think you got to play pitch and catch. I think you got to, you know, do the small things. I think this is an investment game. You got to be invested, more than physically, mentally and spiritually into this pure game of football. This is it. This is a game that, you know, when you come to Nebraska, you know, to play, right? These are the games that you play for. Like all the, mm-hmm. like, this is not a game. This is not play time.
No. Nope.
Okay. So like if I had to talk to you to play, if you think you need, you're going to show up and play, this is not a game to play games. This is not, I mean, you know, and I, you know, I guess you could say I'm bearer of the bad news. I'm a bearer of bad news. I'm just telling you the truth. This is not a game that you want to show up with any type of, this is not a game to be, this is not a good mood game. You got to show up with bad intentions.
Wake up pissed off, as Trey Palmer would say.
Yeah. And you know, Trey was able to take advantage of when I think Riley Moss got hurt and, mm-hmm. you know, took away the third corner. But I think it's when you got to come and shoot your shot. But then also you got to be willing to slug it out too. And I think also to your previous point, I think also where Nebraska, Nebraska can play tighter or play with Michigan when the game's tighter. Because I think the mm-hmm. pressure falls on them. Just because they have a freshman quarterback, they are not a well-oiled machine offensively yet. It's too early. And fair. That's what I said. We're fair. Playing them at the right time. Mm. You know, I will say on the flip side, Ohio State played Michigan at the wrong time. A team that was desperate, that really executed their game plan to perfection, but a lot of those players are gone. Mm-hmm. So you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we're playing them at the right time. We're playing them at home. Sure, I'm sure Bud will be there, and then you get the, you know, 95 team there. But ultimately, the crowd will be in the game when you start making plays. And then if you continue to make plays, then that will be a factor. That will also help you play better against the run, mm-hmm. because they won't be able to get off on the ball as quick.
Yeah.
Which then will make him play more passive, the quarterback, mm-hmm. which then will go to the sideline. Well, then we'll go to the bench as the defense. So then that's how, you know, one thing leads to another.
I just want to see Nebraska force a freshman quarterback to look like a freshman quarterback. I just have too much trust in talent, culture, whatever it is you want to call it, to think that despite Michigan, you know, maybe not being a well-oiled machine, that they'll come in and beat themselves. Maybe they will, but I want to see Nebraska make a freshman quarterback look like a freshman quarterback and not just assume, oh, he's a freshman quarterback, he's going to be rattled. You got to rattle it.
Yeah, you got to do it. But I think the one thing, he's not an ordinary freshman quarterback. All right, so this dude is, I mean, we just like Dylan's not, or he's not, mm-hmm. he's a competitor. Mm-hmm. So this isn't like the dude you just got out of like class D1 that just right. like, you know, accidentally playing. Right. You know, I think the best way to make him look like a freshman quarterback is take advantage of every single freshman mistake he makes. When he throws into double coverage, or he underthrows a ball, or whatever it is, or holds the ball too long, and you can break on the ball and break up a crucial third down, mm-hmm. you do it.
You have to. Don't give him breathing room.
Right. Because the other players around him are probably going to take it upon themselves to make his job easier. Mm-hmm. So when he makes his job harder, then you take advantage of it.
Here's the NFL example of that, J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's the Falcons did a really good job. But you know how they were able to do that?
I mean, they got home like 60% of the time with their pass rush.
Right, but how they did it is how they played offensively. Mm. Against what was Minnesota known for before that game?
It's the defense.
Defense, right? Mm-hmm. Brian Flores, here's the defense. They'll keep them around. And all that you heard it, Chris
Collins. Exotic looks, can't figure it out.
Have guys confused and all that. Mm-hmm. Well, Raheem Morris said, we're going to line up. We're going to run the football. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's however you want it. You want Robinson or Algiers. You're going to get both. So whatever, you choose your poison. And both of them got busy. Mm-hmm. Well, what that does, Austin, it takes that life out of you offensively. Mm. And then it makes you press, right? But then the defense, Atlanta, fed off of that. Why? They did a decent enough job against Minnesota, in a close game, mm-hmm. right? The game was close. And yep. then Atlanta had to, you
just
know,
blooded
out of them, right? But they had control of the game. Mm-hmm. Even when Minnesota got a couple field goals, 9-6, wasn't close. But what they were able to do is
pretty nasty move from Jefferson, though.
It was.
But
it was cold.
To your point.
But it was all for nothing. Mm-hmm. And they kept playing. They stuck to the game plan.
Yeah.
It allowed Atlanta to get energy and gain the momentum defensively. So when Minnesota tried to, I guess, open up the offense, right? You got to think also. Their starting center, Ryan Kelly, got hurt right away.
Concussed.
I think their starting tackle got hurt and the backup got hurt. Well, then you can't run the ball. Now you got to try to pass the ball
with a rookie quarterback.
With a rookie quarterback that really got hot for a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
It was Ollie Oxenfree back there. And it worked, paid dividends. So anyway, we'll take a quick break, come back. We'll talk special teams because I think that's going to be a big advantage, or hopefully a big advantage for Nebraska going up against a Michigan team that's known for special teams, especially in the kicking game. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, we'll be right back.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Khakis. Now we got Mr. Sleeve. He is going to wear sleeves, though.
Boo.
You know how much. Hey, but, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what Nebraska does and how they can gain an advantage, possibly special teams, right? And that's whether it's in the kicking game or return game. Michigan is, you know, obviously put a lot of kickers in the league, been pretty solid. When you look at the stats, they're probably decent in the return game, nothing like special, but they feel like they can out athlete you, and you need every advantage that you can get, you know, when you play against a team like Michigan. And that's where Nebraska, you know, obviously bringing in a special teams coach that comes in with a lot of you know, I guess I wouldn't say fanfare, but I'm gonna look at it more like credibility. And Coach Eckler, these are the games that you want to, you know, really make some hay. And so their field goal kicker's okay. You know, he's 4-6, and you know, he missed one, a mid-range one and a long one. So you could say, okay, we're right on point, you know, with our kicking game. But
having a better season than Jake Moody so far.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry.
I know. It's anyways. But, you know, Kyle Shanahan has a history of, like, not liking kickers.
It's kind of funny.
You know, Graham Gano is one that he pretty much, I wouldn't say talked his dad into cutting, but told his dad strongly after he missed two kicks and back-to-back weeks to cut him.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up going to be a two-time All-Pro for the Panthers and a long career after that. So, you know, Michigan punt return game hasn't been very good. Kickoff returns to over 20 yards, you know, kickoff return. Now,
that Marsh guy scored a touchdown against, I think it was Central Michigan last week. He's got the goods.
Yeah.
He's got some juice to it.
And they haven't had a lot of opportunity. Now, right. When you beat a team 63-3, yeah, you're not getting a lot of opportunities. So it'll be interesting for Nebraska to try to find an advantage, right? Whether it's in the punt game, you know, their punter is okay, or their punt team has been okay, you know, or in the, you know, kickoff or punt return yards, or vice versa when you're covering kicks, because that's going to, if you can flip the field on Michigan, again, with them being on the road, 2:30 primetime game, all the hoopla around it, backed up all the time. I think that you talk about being able to be explosive in the red zone. I think that's where you can touchdown or field goal, touchdown, field goal, and then another touchdown, and really, really put the pressure on. You don't have to, like, you can really blow Michigan out by essentially the field position game. And the reason why I say that, Austin, is if you're just kind of going back and forth and not flipping the field, then that's where you're 100% right. Nebraska has to be explosive.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're constantly gaining the hitting yards against Michigan, 8 yards here, 10 yards the next, four, you're inching them back towards being backed up. That means you're inching towards getting the ball at or close to the 50. Then it's either take a shot, couple first downs, go for it on fourth, really bleeding the clock. That's where you can really beat them in an ugly game.
Have you liked Dana Holgorsen's play calling in terms of when he's asked Nebraska to take the shots so far?
Yeah. I mean, it's I mean, the first game you can't, like, they're playing that deep zone. So you can, yeah, you could just sit back and chuck and duck. I mean, I said it from the get-go when Cincinnati just came out and threw it deep, they just threw it like it was pat and go. They weren't even trying to. I mean, that was just a waste of play. So then you can't really judge off the, you know, the second or third game is because.
But you can judge the process.
Oh, I mean, I like the process. I mean, that's kind of what I'm talking about. I like the process, yeah. But it's just that you think you're going to hit it, you know, run past Michigan, you know, defenders all the time? No, but I've always liked the, even back to last year, I felt like the rhythm, you know, they kind of, it pieced together, you know, you could see, you know what I mean? So I think in that case, you know, the continuity is there. So I think, you know, he'll be able to call a good enough game.
I have been attempting to make that one of my focuses up there in the press box for the first couple weeks here. And it's been somewhat predictable when Nick and I have had these conversations, when it feels like Dane's going to take a shot. Okay, you're in plus territory, or you're just on the doorstep. Maybe the opponent's 45, you know, forward, and you get the matchup you like. When Nebraska has gotten to, you know, the opponent's 45, even their own 45 and gone, if they get a one-on-one matchup with their receivers, they're taking it. They've done a pretty good job of doing that consistently. Sometimes it's the play call, sometimes it's not. But I think that goes to what Matt Rhule's been saying about Dylan Raiola and his faith in a guy like Dana Holgorsen calling the plays offensively, is that whether or not Nebraska is actually connected on the play is one thing. But I do think Nebraska has recognized those opportunities of, hey, they're playing single high, he's rolled over this way a little bit, we have a one-on-one with Keir Hunter to this side, or we can manipulate the defense, get the guy shifted over that way, and then get this other guy isolated one-on-one. No, they haven't hit 100% of the time. It's been a little bit predictable. I mean, if Nick and I are saying, oh yeah, it feels like this is the time for it, you know, Michigan's going to be onto it, Connor Stallions or no. But it just feels like Nebraska should have the guys that, even if Michigan says, okay, they're probably taking a shot here, do we want to take away Key? Do we want to take away Hunter and make Nebraska go the other way? That Nebraska has the guys to still be able to take that shot play, even if it's, you know, flipped from what they wanted.
Yeah, they can play,
and I
like
play the process.
Yeah, they can play a little bit more off schedule than, you know, versus last year. Again, you should be able to. Another year of Dylan. Dylan is, you know, this scheme is with Dylan. He's with Dana. You feel like you upgraded everywhere else as far as like player for player. Dane Key is, you know, at Kentucky, he's done did a really good job of winning 50-50 balls. And so you like your chances there where, okay, you guys want to go man, and you want to make sure that we, you know, try to, you know, not allow any deep passes, but you want to blitz and go man to man, then you have the safety net to throw to Dane Key. But also, I think Hunter has done a good job of winning 50-50 balls as well. So they're more equipped to do so. I think they've been predictable by probably choice, but then also by the defense's, you know, predictability as well. So you got to just do what you got to do. You know, Dana's been around this business a long time, so he'll scheme up stuff that, you know, that and get the, you know, he's seen everything you need to see. Now they got to go execute, and it's going to come down to, like, I mean, you got to play to win this game. I think I can't emphasize that enough. I think it's like, we got a good text in here from Ryan. He says offensively we should be able to move, defensively you know, he's worried about this undersized defensive line and our short yardage pass game. And then, you know, and he's from Valley Springs, California. So, you know, I think, you know, the undersized defense line, you got to play good. You got to play with good leverage. You got to be invested. I think if you bring the fight to them, I think Michigan's offensive line isn't like the same one when they won a national championship in years past. But that doesn't mean that the Joe Moore Award, had been in Michigan for, like, it seemed like every year for like the last 4 or 5 years. Every year they'd be there, right?
And except went, for the rain, Amir went up to Washington for some reason.
Washington, but. Yeah. When they went to the national championship, then it had been in Iowa before. What I'm saying is that is like the like much like the pipeline when, you know, before I got here, and then obviously during when I was here was a, you know, a tradition or what you've been known for, and there was guys that even like the second coming of the pipeline where that, you know, we didn't have any illegal procedure penalties and. The year in 95, they were replacing their original pipeline. So you didn't know them yet. So you got to expect those guys to play with the same want to, tradition and everything like that. So they have a standard that they're going to come and play to. So our defensive line's got to, you know, reset that standard. So I think, you know, this game, when I mean invested in this game, everybody, you know, this is the whole motivation versus discipline. Mm-hmm. Coming out of the, look, there's going to be nothing like coming out of the tunnel for these guys. National TV game, prime time against Michigan. Everything, this is the first game, you know, a lot's on the line, you know, both in the state and outside of the state, perception-wise, so forth and so on. But after about the first or second series, that's where that discipline has got to come in. I mean, obviously, you got to have it every series. But mm-hmm. that, you know.
You can fake it for a couple possessions.
Well,
if
no,
you're
I mean, you're just gonna, you just got to, then you got to lock in. Mm-hmm. They're going to settle down. We got to settle down. And then you got to go play. And then you, okay.
Can you settle down and turn up at the same time?
Yeah. And then you got to do it the rest of the game. Mm. You know, there used to be an old saying back in the day. We'll go to break after this. You train for five quarters, knowing that you're going to knock them out in four.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
I like it.
I'm trained for five.
Yeah.
So four is easy.
Mm.
You want to go five, then we're right into deep water. Then that's where we're going to go. So. They handle that, they'll be all right. So anyway, we'll take a quick break, come back. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, set the table for the rest of the week. We've got Whiteboard Wednesday, probably have to expand that. Pick a couple run plays in defensive sets and a couple players. We will focus on my man Ernest Hausman. Because my man has got some savage in him.
Mm.
I like the first game of the year, he walked the lineman back too.
Woo.
Yeah, walked him back.
All right, Ernie.
Yeah, he checked him. Now he's the enforcer. So Columbus is finest. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Well, we're back. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman. Quick segment here. Bowl on this Monday, Michigan Monday. You know, Matt Rhule had a press conference. We should have gotten into some of that, but I mean,
yeah, we got tomorrow.
Yeah, he was just talking about you know, being down in Vegas and obviously Michigan game. You know, I think it'd be more importantly, I think he talks again what Thursday.
Yep.
Yeah, so we'll be able to dive into what he says Thursday and also get some libations, get this party started.
Woo.
That's most important because you know you really you know now it's kind of all fluff, but. You know, I think the most important thing, you know, he just, you know, feels confident where he's at. You know, he knows that, you know, you got to prepare for these games, what you, you know, live for. It's probably what he comes to coach Nebraska for is to play in games like this and or coaching games like this. I think he feels, like, you know, probably more, you know, more prepared, more confident to play any blue blood team or any, you know, I think this year he would probably feel better playing at Indiana than he did last year, right? And it's not that he wasn't feeling, you know, prepared or like prepared. I think he knows the Big Ten better. I think he knows his team better. I think you got year two of Dylan, so you know standards different, expectations are higher, and I feel like the roster's better. You know, so I think for him, I always say when you get off the bus, but you know when they do their is a Husker walk,
Unity walk, Husker walk, Unity whatever, walk, yeah.
Husker walk. I think the feel is different. I think it's you know it's a unique place to be. Obviously, it's a lot different than what I'm used to. But I think where you're, you know, as a coach, you're like, okay, feel way more comfortable with your team. And then now you're just now the anxiety is like you want them to go play as good as you know or want them to play.
There was a question asked today of Matt Rhule about, you know, what's the same or what's different about this Michigan team than the one he faced in 2023. Understandable question. I get it. It's worth knowing, but. My goal for Thursday is going to be to ask Matt Rhule after a week of practice, what makes him feel better about his program being ready for a game like this year compared to where it was in 2023? Because I think to your point, we're going to spend a lot of time on Michigan because it's new, it's novel, they're the opponent coming into town. But at the end of the day, is Nebraska in a better position? Is Nebraska more athletic? Is Nebraska tougher? Is Nebraska more disciplined now than it was in 2023 to take advantage of a Michigan team that is also not where it was in 2023, right? Has the Matt Rhule year three leap, you know, has it happened yet? You can't say after just the non-conference, but you'll begin to see signs of it if Nebraska, or you'll continue to see signs and you'll see the validation of those signs. If Nebraska as a program is in a better spot to compete and hopefully potentially beat a Michigan team in 2025 compared to where it was in 2023.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I'm sure, I don't ever want to speak for anybody. I'm pretty sure, he probably thinks so. And I think, that's part of because, players put in the work. No team is, I don't think, out there perfect. I mean, obviously, there's tons of parity out there. And, you can make a ton of scenarios for about 30 teams that they can, reach their goals this year. And I'm sure Nebraska is one of them. So this is a big step in the process. And it's more of a mental hurdle, right? All the kind of checks and balances are there. The processes, outside of the field are there. So, that's where he's at, right? You got the fan support, financial support, all that stuff, right? All that stuff is there. So he's kind of got that going. And which then helps on the field, right? You got a GM and everything. There's kind of, the continuity is there. And now you just got to get the guys to, really step up and take advantage of this opportunity. It's a great opportunity.
That's all you can ask for.
And you can't feel sorry that Michigan has a freshman quarterback and they don't have Blake Corum. They don't have JJ McCarthy. They don't got 55 offensive linemen and defensive linemen. You can't feel sorry for them. They're Michigan. And so go beat them. And you just say, hey, look, we're going to get their best shot. They're going to give ours, and our best shot is better than theirs. And period. And really, to be honest with you, I want your best shot. I want you to come in here and play well.
Don't disrespect me and not give me your best shot.
Yeah, I mean, you know they're going to play hard, but I don't want Michigan to go back to Ann Arbor with any excuses. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's two things. I want to beat you at your best, right? I don't, the whole, of course, if you come in and we cause five turnovers and so forth and so on. But when I beat you at your best, I want to beat you where people's like, Michigan played dang good. Nebraska played
better
because then people see that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like the Bills, right? I was like, I'm glad they beat the Ravens, but did they really play well?
They played good enough to win, but that's different than playing well.
Right. I want to beat you and play well. Mm-hmm. That's how you strike the fear of God in the people. You know what I'm saying?
You ever see a team do that?
Yeah, we did a little something, man. I was a young pup in 95. I wasn't riding on the coattails. I was making sure, I was a little puppy and the big dogs was leading.
you got your scraps.
I did. I got busy. Yeah. I got busy a little bit, yeah. But I was definitely.
That's why you were there last weekend.
I was definitely chirping at the big dogs. Anyways, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, old school, we'll holler at you tomorrow.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.